Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word Radio. It's February 1st, 2016. It's 8 a.m. in North Central West Virginia. Word of God says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I'm sure I have read the scripture before in other broadcasts, but I feel an urgency today to bring it forth again today of God dealing with his people. He says, "Come and let us reason together. Let us settle our differences." The differences that man has with God is a three-letter word named sin. It's a place where God wants to deal with us. He says in his word, I would that none would perish, but that each and every one would come unto everlasting life, that they would come unto the saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by which no man can be saved unless he accepts the love gift of God, which was provided by Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. We want to stress every broadcast that we are here to lift up Jesus and him crucified, that all men might be drawn unto to him. He is the answer. He is the way. He is the only truth. He is the only light. He is the only life by which man can be regenerated and renewed in his spirit. The only hope for mankind and our lives and our eternity is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God says, I want to deal with you. Let us reason together. You state your case, and I'll state mine. By the way, our cases are—they hold no valid point. We have nothing to offer God. We have nothing to argue with him. We have no grounds by which we can stand when we come before him. We have already come before him guilty, and the only thing we can plead is the blood of Jesus Christ. When we allow the Lord, the Spirit of God, to deal with us in a valley, the Word of God declares in Joel 3:14 that multitudes upon multitudes are in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It's time to make a choice. It's time to, as Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And God, yes, he deals with a corporate body, the church, but he starts his dealing with individuals. He told Jeremiah, he said, "Jeremiah, you're a prophet I'm going to use." And the sufferings was beyond even speaking. The sufferings of Jeremiah was so deep. But he said, "I want you to go down to the potter's house." We have no idea what the prophet Jeremiah went through as he preached to a nation who had already set their heart against God, had already pulled down the precepts of God and went about to establish their own righteousness. This is where we get in trouble when we don't allow the Spirit of God to reason with us. The Word of God says, serve him, giving yourself as a holy sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus said, "My yoke is not heavy, but is light. Take upon me my yoke. You'll be able to bear that which I allow you to bear and give you strength to bear." So we come to the realization today that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that place where we allow the Spirit of God to reason with us. Reasoning is not always easy. When there's reasoning, then there's things that come to light in our lives. There are things that are uncovered, the secret, the deeds that men do. The Bible declares that that God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man sows, so shall he also reap, that everything that is hidden shall be uncovered. All for a season and a time, things might be covered up, and people might actually think they are going to get away with something. But make no mistake about it, all things shall be brought to the light, and that light is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the sinner, that's me and you. Wait a minute, Pastor, we're saved, we're born again, yes we are, but we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And make no mistake about it, without the cleansing blood and without relying on what Jesus did at the cross 2,000 years ago, then we are prone to sin. We are prone to fail because, as Paul described in Romans chapter 6, there's a sin nature that lies on the inside of me and you that the devil would love to stir up and use against us. But the Word of God declares that sin shall not have dominion over you if we rely on what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. Not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. He's our incoming and our outgoing. He's the present help in the time of trouble. He is the only one that can help us with our sin problem. So the sinner will see the need to give himself to God. Then upon his confession, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means all future sins too. That means every time that we fail God. Now make no mistake about it, premeditated sin is blatant sin. It's disregard for the laws of God. It's disregard for the grace and the mercy that was provided for us by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Blatant sin, premeditated sin is sin, and the Word of God declares there remains no more sacrifice for that sin. But we all have sinned, and we all will sin and come short of the glory of God in the future. And if we are told that we don't have to confess our sins, then it's going against the Word of God. For He says plainly in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So sin is to miss the mark. It's to go awry. It's not to live up to the expectations of God, by which we cannot do within ourselves. Neither can we even help ourselves. The Bible says without Jesus Christ that we are men most miserable. That if we go about to establish our own righteousness, then we are dealing with filthy rags. Because the Word of God declares that our righteousness is but filthy rag before the throne of God. So what God is dealing with us today, even in this Old Testament book, the prophet Isaiah was pointing towards the Messiah, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who would take away, as John the Baptist said, the sins of all the world. He said, though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet is to be double dipped. Scarlet gives reference to a bug from an oak leaf, I believe, in the Mediterranean area, by which if something is dipped in that, it is dipped double. It's such a deep color, such a crimson color, as the Word of God goes on to describe here, a crimson color, and stained to a fault. In other words, destined to be permanent unless something comes on the scene and eradicates that and cleanses some stain cleaner, something that can go to the depth of how we are stained. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So precious is the flow that cleanses us white as snow. No other fount do I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So this permanent mark, this permanent deep dyed crimson that we are destined to deal with and live with, which our sin will take us to a devil's hell, will cast us off into eternity, as the Spirit of God showed John in the book of Revelation, that the second death, by which we hear the words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I knew you not. But I've got good gospel news today. There is something that can cleanse that deep sin, that deep guilt within our lives, that shame that sometimes we are faced with in the middle of the night, and the guilt and the shame. Jesus took all that 2,000 years ago. The Bible says if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, believe in our heart and profess that he is the Son of the living God, and elevate him above everything in our lives, put him on the throne of our hearts, and allow him to have his divine and his precious way. He says, let me in. He said, I'll bring the Father, I'll bring the Holy Ghost, I'll bring the entire Godhead, and we will sup with you. He says, draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God and resist the evil one, and he will flee from you. When we confess our sins, we allow God's Holy Spirit to show us the error of our ways. We need direction. Sin is darkness. Sin is confusion. Sin is not knowing our way, and neither do we have strength to know our way, and our eyes are blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world has so many blinded, so many going in the wrong direction. But the Spirit of God says today, come and let us reason. As he told Jeremiah, come down and get on the potter's wheel. Oh, it might be uncomfortable for a season. Oh, but it's necessary that the mighty sculptor, which is the Spirit of the living God, press on us and take away from us everything that's displeasing to him, knowing it's not possible within ourselves to eradicate our own sin. There's not enough works we can do. There's not enough penance we can do. There's not enough Bible reading or church attendance or fasting, anything we can do. It's all in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our submission unto that perfect work. Matthew 11:28-29, he says, come unto me, my, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall listen to me. Find rest unto your souls. Oh, this is what mankind needs today. We live in a generation that's medicated. I read an article one time where a man stated, and I don't know what the poll numbers are, I don't even know where they come from, but I have a tendency to believe this, that over 60% of people who drive on the highways are under the influence of something. Most of them prescription medication, trying to find peace for our minds, because the world is in confusion. The world is in chaos. The world is being set up right now for the emergence of a one world government, the emergence of a man called the Antichrist, which the Bible refers to as the son of perdition, or the man of destruction, who will be incarnated, will be completely possessed by his father, which is Satan, and the emergence of even a religious group, which will be headed up by the false prophet. These are the days that we are living in. The Bible declares that men's hearts will fail them for the things they see coming on the face of the earth. So it's time that we as individuals, individually, go down to the potter's house. My. And let him speak to us. Let him reason with us. Let him show us our shortcomings and our failures, which we all have. And then we cast all of these things upon him, and that labor and heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. I got to read this again. Take my yoke, the Bible says, which is not burdensome upon you, and learn of me. Learn of me, for my people perish for the lack of knowledge. This is what the word of God says. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. He says, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. Listen, these are the words spoken by Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. The apostle who was the publican, the tax collector, penned this book, and he said, ye shall find rest for your souls. My, how mankind needs rest for their souls. How we need disregard, set our priorities, cast off every weight that's just so easily beset us. Take on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust him. Glory to God. Have faith in what he did at the cross 2,000 years ago. Believe with all your heart and mind and body and soul and spirit that which he done, glory to God, is more than enough. to wash away our sins, that which was once double dipped in sin, that which was corroded by sin, that which was such a deep, dark stain, that the blood of Jesus Christ, that crimson blood that flowed from the side and from the hands and from the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, washed away all of our sins, making us no longer guilty, taking away our fear of the second death, rooting and grounding us in the truth of an almighty God. When he declares, do not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Is any doctrine that tries to elude the finished work of Jesus Christ, that tries to downgrade the finished work of Jesus Christ, which was accomplished 2,000 years ago. Oh, he must be lifted up, that all men might be drawn unto him within these days in which we live. As we said here, the Word of God says in Joel 3:14, multitudes upon multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Come and let us reason, he says. Though your sins be as scarlet, my. Though they be, or you be dyed in sin, double dipped in sin. The Bible declares that what Jesus done on the cross was a double cure. My. He said, I would that none would perish, but each and every one would come unto everlasting life. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They were deciding. They were halted between two opinions. They were trying to make a choice. We have a choice to make every day. Paul said these words, I die daily. Every day that I get up, he says, I must renew my covenant to be a bond slave, a willing slave, a servant to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thomas said, I don't believe until I see the scars in his hands and the scars in his feet. And Jesus showed them to him. And the Word of God declares, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. My. On the road to Emmaus, the Word of God declares that their hearts burned because the Savior come along, the words that he spoke. They were downtrodden. They were ready to go back to their occupations. They were. Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. I'm going back. Their faith had been challenged. Another one that they had walked with during the powerful 3 years of his ministry from the age of 30 to 33 was gone. He told them. He said, I got to leave. I must go. That I can send you back the comforter. But when it actually happened, then they become disillusioned. They become fearful. Oh, but Jesus, the Word of God declares, looked out on the boat and Peter was fishing, and the Word of God declares, he jumped in the water. He said, it is the Lord. Jesus said, have you any meat? My. He's Lord. He loves us today. He doesn't want sin to rule and reign over our lives. Come and let us reason. Come, let's talk about this. Let's discuss this. But make no mistake about it. He says, I've got the antidote. I've got that thing that can eradicate the sin in your life, that can give you power over it, that will not have dominion over you, that you won't have to quit. Keep on failing and failing and failing and failing and failing. Keep on falling further into guilt and condemnation. He said, neither do I condemn thee. He says, he to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he said, go and sin no more. Where are thou accusers? She said, they are gone. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Your sins are forgiven you, but go and sin no more. Take on me. Trust me. The enemy's thrust is to make us guilty, to condemn us. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, for those who trust totally in Jesus Christ and his ability to wash our scarlet sins from our lives. Like I said, that double dipping of sin We were born in sin. We were conceived in sin. We were not, man was not created original sin, but original sin began when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and we live in a fallen world, and we are fallen individuals today. Oh, but thank God. Thank God, thank God, the psalmist David said, oh, who is man that you are mindful of us? That you'd even look our way, that you would regard us, that you would love us so much, that you would send your only begotten Son to die on a cross. Oh, I don't know where you're at today, but I can tell you today, he's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. He's the strength for today. And if you have tomorrow, he's the strength for tomorrow. Your yesterdays are gone. Nothing you can do about it. Forget about them. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow might never be mine. But die out today to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just simply call on him today. Say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I don't want this stain of sin in my life. I don't want sin to rule and reign over my life. Father, you know my shortcomings. You know where I am and what direction I'm. Turn me, Lord. Turn me today in Jesus' name. Listen. You can't listen to people. If they're petting you in your sin, get away from them. Rebuke them if you have to. Say, let me go. I'm going to Jesus because I'm not going to allow this sin to destroy my life. Woe unto them that pet people in their sins that know better. God help us today. God help us today. He's the way. He's the truth. Listen, there's nothing that you've done that the blood of Jesus will not cover and eradicate and take away. This is what John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Come now, let us reason together. Read it again till you saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Crimson, that deep, dark red. And wool, as white as the pure, driven snow. All you have to do today, you can't fix yourself, you can't clean yourself up, is yield under the finished work of Jesus Christ. Cry out to him wherever you're at. Maybe you've been in the church for years, you're born again, you're saved, but you're struggling. Listen, the enemy doesn't want you to make it. He'll throw everything at you, but the Bible declares no weapon formed against us shall prosper if we are in Christ Jesus. And the Bible declares we will not be hurt by the second death, that no means can anything separate us from the love of God. This is his word today. I am persuaded, Paul said, that he is able to keep that which I have already committed unto him. Apostle Paul said things like these light afflictions. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you know his afflictions as far as the world sees were not light. But he said, I count it all but lost, that I might gain Jesus Christ, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Father, we come to you, Lord. I ask you today, Lord, whoever hears this word today, you said it will not come back void. And Father, we decrease today that you might increase. And we ask you to touch the hearts and the minds of people today, God. Those that are struggling, those that are losing hope, those that are in a place of darkness, God, and they see no way out, Lord. It's so dark. But you shine the light in their situation. You'll bring them out. You said you'll be a lamp unto our feet, Lord, a light unto our path. That's what you said in your word. We believe that today. I ask you to touch them today, Father. As they cry out to you, as they accept you as Lord of their life, as they rededicate whatever needs to be done in their lives today, Father. Whether they never accept you, let them receive you today. And that struggling Christian today, Lord, we have this concept that just because we're saved, we're okay. We never get fault. We never have any problems. But, Lord, you know, and I certainly know that, Lord, that's not true. Paul said, he said, there's things that I don't want to do that I do. He said, I don't want to do things, but I end up doing them, end up failing. Amen. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but you are the breach repairer. You're the one that today that can reach in and touch us, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, as we completely give ourselves over to you, as we are on your potter's wheel today, Lord, and we know sometimes that pressure is great, Lord, but Lord, we know that you're shaping us and forming us in what you'd have us to be, that the end result, Father, as Job said, when I am tried, my Lord, I will come forth as refiner's gold. When he's tried me, Job said he tries me every day. Glory to God, thinking not strange of the fiery trials you said in your word. James said, be joyful when we are tempted with divers temptations. Thinking not strange of these things is what you said, Lord. We believe you today. Strengthen your people. Strengthen that one today, Lord. It's in that darkness, Lord, and they so want to be out of it. And they're crying out, God, I ask you to bring them out in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, through your anointing, Lord, it destroys every yoke of bondage. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Be encouraged today by the word of God. If you don't know the Lord and Savior, accept him today. Repent of your sins. He'll save your soul. If you need healing by his stripes, you're healed. According to what the word of God says. The word of God shall never, ever pass away. Find you a good Bible-believing church where the word of God is preached. If you don't have a home church, you're welcome to come to our the Bible Church of God at 644 Washington Avenue in Clarksburg, West Virginia, where my son's the pastor. Amen. And I will tell you, not because of him or us or anybody, but the word of God is preached there. Amen. If you have a home church, support your pastor. Pray for him, lift him up. Pray that God puts a word in his mouth for these last days. How much we need that today. How much we need a word from the Lord, which is strength. There's a lot of words going on today, but we need his word, which is sharp and powerful and quicker than a two-edged sword and cuts asunder. Until the next time, may God bless you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthinthework777@gmail.com. Word of God declares, look up for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you.